Welcome to the latest episode of the Finding Hope podcast from Rogue Retreat. You can find us in numerous ways. First of all, you can go to facebook.com/Rogue Retreat, and we're hosted by anchor.fm, but you can also find us through TuneIn and Apple Podcasts. Without any further ado, on with the latest episode.
First of all, how did you get, what is hip housing, and how did you get involved, and what led you to where you are?
Yeah, so in brief, hip housing is a nonprofit based in San Mateo County, California, that has three core programs, home sharing, self-sufficiency, and property development. And we've been around since 1972. And our goal is to keep people housed, to help people find housing. You know, our home sharing program matches individuals who have an extra space or a second unit with those who are looking for a space to rent. And our self-sufficiency program aids families with children where the parent or guardian is going back to school or finishing their education. We support them while they attain their degree or their training with subsidized housing and case management to help them achieve their educational and career goals. And with our property development branch, we own and manage 28 properties across San Mateo County, and they are all affordable properties, housing those in need in the county. And as for how I got involved with hip housing, you know, I actually applied twice. first time I didn't get it, which is fine because there's a timing for everything, right?
Yeah.
So I began as their North County home sharing coordinator, focusing my efforts in Northern San Mateo County. I was a case manager, essentially, interviewed prospective clients, and then made referrals for them and checked in with them to help them find the right match, to help them find a housemate. And shortly after that, I was promoted to community outreach specialist, which is the position I serve in now.
So what did you do before this?
Oh, yeah. So before hip housing, I had a brief stint, an internship with the Housing Endowment and Regional Trust of San Mateo County. They help finance affordable housing projects in the county. And before that, I actually was in the conservation field. I worked for a nonprofit called Green Foothills out of Palo Alto, California, and they protect open space and farmland.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
Okay, Matt, would you like to chime in? I'm sure you have plenty of questions.
I definitely would. So, Chris, when you were talking, one of the things that kind of popped out to me was you were talking about doing the case management work.
Yeah.
Was there anything that was kind of eye-opening into your local area that you weren't expecting to see when you began doing that personal work with the folks that you're serving?
Oh, wow. Where do I start? Oh, man. I would say, you know, something that brought me joy in doing that work was the relationships that would be built between housemates. You know, as an example, a provider or landlord who I worked with and who I found a housemate for in Daly City, California, North County.
Oh, yes.
yeah, you know, Stan.
Oh, yeah.
You know, she would tell me that for Thanksgiving, as an example, she would always have a place setting for her housemate. And I thought that was so beautiful because it demonstrated one of the benefits of our program is that you can find not only a housemate, but a friend or someone who's like family.
And I understand that the longest running housemaid situation was, what, something like 20 years?
Wow.
Yeah, we've had a number of providers or landlords who have stuck with us for several years on end. And that's the purpose of this program, is really to facilitate long-term affordable housing arrangements between, two or more people.
Amazing. So, Chris, I know in our area, one of the things that we're noticing quite a bit is that there are a lot of seniors that are being displaced out of rentals and everything because most are on fixed incomes of some kind. And in our area, because pretty much everywhere is in a housing crisis anymore, but our rents are skyrocketing to a point where they're not met, our living wages and everything are not keeping up. And so we're actually finding very elderly folks that are living along creek sides and everything because they've been pushed out of housing. How is, are you seeing that in your community? And is this shared housing a way that communities can help with senior housing?
Yeah, absolutely. I can think of one client, Anna, who would stop by our office pretty much on a weekly basis because she didn't have a cell phone. She had to come into the office to ask for referrals, and she was homeless. The only days out of the week that she would have a roof over her head was when she would stay at a local motel on Saturday and Sunday. And so, many of our clients, I would say the majority of them, are either at risk of homelessness or are homeless. And especially with our providers, the majority of our providers are seniors. So this program is really meant to help people age in place. And in fact, in our county, older adults are the fastest growing segment of the population. Our county is aging significantly faster than probably any other county in the Bay Area.
Yeah, we're a similar situation here because we have so many retirement communities that this community oftentimes has kind of been built around that. We do have a large senior population that is being hit. Are you noticing how is COVID impacting your work?
Right. So, oh my gosh. Especially, I know.
I know for us it got more expensive
Yeah.
because of COVID. But we've been fortunate to leverage in some resources, but I know that it's hitting different agencies in different ways that a lot of times
Right.
people aren't aware of.
Yeah. Yeah. So initially, our operations on the home sharing side came to a standstill. We weren't receiving any new inquiries. We didn't have a virtual interview process set up yet. So things, like I said, came to a standstill. But soon after, we transformed our interview process and our intake process. We implemented Google Meets as a interviewing platform. We used HelloSign to have our prospective clients complete the application forms. And now we transitioned to Zoom for interviews. And we saw a definitely a rebound in, interest, especially I would say midway through the pandemic, as people started to realize that this wasn't ending anytime soon, and that, they couldn't wait any longer to find a housemate. Many of our clients, they expressed concern about looking for a housemate during the pandemic. I actually went through it myself. I, used HIP Housing to find a housemate, and we took every precaution we could, interviewing them via FaceTime and then doing a virtual interview across the apartment. So we adapted really quickly.
Yeah, I think that's probably in retrospect one of the things that's benefiting us is that we now have the ability to adapt on the fly in certain cases, and so it's forced us to have to kind of convert a little bit to using more adaptive technology and seeing how it can help us streamline our services while maintaining safe social distancing.
That's
So,
right.
and so. So how does the hip housing, like if somebody were to have an interest in starting something like this, what would you recommend them to start doing if they were to create a housing program like that?
Right. You know, I would recommend that they speak with my supervisor, Laura Bonucci.
Well, see, we could also have that as another podcast because we're always looking for
absolute
people to be victims. No, but because really, because I always tell Matt, I said, I think of what we do, I think of us, and yes, this is not an original idea, but I'll steal it, a global village. Mm-hmm. And I think the more people we can get, you know, interview and get to that are doing, you know, there's no reason for anyone to have to reinvent the wheel if it's already there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. No, I come from a different a background working in some clubhouses for individuals with mental health diagnoses. And because there's a worldwide network of clubhouses, they often say that plagiarism is the highest form of compliment. And so usually it was always nice because you can always find like or similar programs in other communities that might have already encountered the issues you're dealing with. And so if you can share what you've learned, oftentimes you can kind of get a head start on doing the work in your own community on how to implement these types of things. On the property management side, you said that you had 28 properties that you manage. Are those apartment complexes or are those individual houses?
Yeah, good question. So just to clarify, so 18 of those properties we own and the remaining properties we manage. And yes, they are all they are predominantly multifamily complexes, okay, with the exception of, I would say, about four or so shared homes for our self-sufficiency program participants.
Excellent. Okay. That's amazing. And so how do you market that to potential property owners too when you're looking at potentially expanding to try to recruit them in, basically?
Yeah. You know, we have a few different projects in the pipeline. As an example, you know, in downtown Redwood City, California, probably one of the, you know, the second largest city in the county, has seen a lot of building going on.
Oh, yeah.
There's a redevelopment project in the pipeline that will include 39 affordable units that we will manage.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So we're very excited.
See, Matt, are you listening? Chad should be with us because his eyes, I could see him, his eyes bulging out. Chad is our head honcho, so to speak.
Yeah, Chad's our founder and executive director. He started Rogue Retreat in 1998, and it's kind of grown since then, but it's, if it wasn't for us learning from other communities and the work that they're doing, we wouldn't be where we're at today. Because oftentimes when we went to tour other villages or other types of programs, we came back with their best practices. Because oftentimes we were the young ones coming in and they were informing us, okay, don't do A or B.
You don't know the growth of the number of people that we have now versus what we had.
Oh, well, you know, a lot of that has happened in the past year or so because of COVID and everything. As of now, because we now have the urban campground, as well as our congregate shelter, and then our village programs, and then we have shared housing, and then 44 apartments. Each night, we are now sheltering and housing over 300 people, which is pretty amazing. And the key ingredient to our programs and our philosophy is really that relationship-based case management.
And our staff. I mean, our staff growth has gone excellently.
That's the tougher one to keep track of, actually. We're over 70 staff now as an agency.
Wow.
And just about 2 years ago, we could have still fit all of our staff in one conference room. And so a lot of that growth has been when we started the shelter programs, we ended up getting support staff. And it just, once a community begins embracing this work, it's a little bit overwhelming how quickly it can all start building up and getting done. But at the same time, having encountered so much NIMBY also with the work that we do, it's also a breath of fresh air to really kind of see a community begin to embrace this.
We'll be back with more of the Finding Hope podcast after this message from Rogue Tech Pros. Is your computer giving you a headache? Are you wanting to replace that monstrosity with a new box? Well, there is only one place to go, and that's Rogue Tech Pros. I know because I use the services that Charlie of Rogue Tech Pros provides. He services well what he sells. And for further information, give Charlie a call at 541-299-2100. That again is 541-299-2100. You will be glad that you did.
Have you found that in the Bay Area as you've kind of progressed into this new era that we're in, that the Bay Area has become more, embraces more of the type of work that you're doing?
Yes. I would say that, you know, many of our community members cite hip housing as just an essential service to the community. And I think the beauty of it is, again, just bringing people together and making sure that people have a safe and affordable place to live.
I definitely agree. Do you think that part of the response from the community is because homelessness for a lot of us has gotten a bit closer to home? I know for myself, I've seen my family members become homeless, for example, and as a result, it kind of softened my heart a little bit to the needs of that community. Do you think that's part of what's going on too, where it's just becoming more and more, people are becoming more and more aware of how bad it really is?
Well, you know, I would actually say with some of our incoming home providers, one of the primary reasons that they're turning to our program is because they can't find a guest, you know, to host, say, through Airbnb, or they are struggling to afford their mortgage now that their work hours have been reduced or their income has been reduced. And so there's a real financial incentive for people to participate in our program as home providers. That's one thing I would mention.
Okay. Yeah, that's something I hadn't even thought about, is that piece of it. But that is a great point to bring up. Okay. So have you, Stan, it looked like you had a question.
No. Keep going. You're on a roll.
So has there, while you've been doing this work, has there been any stories that have kind of stood out to you that really kind of brought it home? This is why I'm here doing this.
Yeah. Yeah. One match that I am so proud of was this gentleman. He's a chef at one of the local, or was a chef at one of the local hotels on the peninsula. And he had a son who was attending Cal State East Bay in Hayward, just across the bay. And they were homeless. They were looking for a place to live. And I found them a match in South San Francisco. Just the gratitude that he felt for finding a home, and the relationship that we had built through that process was very moving. And shortly after he matched, he had also been notified by our property management division that an apartment was available for him if he wanted that as well. And it's just amazing that all of these opportunities became available all at once. Like all these doors open.
Yes.
All at once. That's what I want to see. That is what brings me joy, is it's helped me people become housed and stay housed in spite of all the odds. So, you know, to this day, he still matched. And I'm really grateful for that.
Well, you know, it's just like I could really relate to that. Mm. Not that I have never been homeless, but what did happen. And Matt can tell you this. I was one time there was an organization that subsidized my employment at a rogue retreat. And we weren't sure what was going to happen. Anyway, it ended up that Matt can tell part of the story because he and Chad ended up putting me on in my position now where I'm doing this podcast, but he could explain part of that.
Yeah, no, it was, we got to know Stan through a partner agency that he did a work placement with us here. And so as we got to know Stan and kind of learned his background with media and whatnot, we knew that doing a podcast had always been kind of a goal of ours. And so the idea label kind of popped on. And we're like, okay, Stan is going to become our new podcast host. And here we are, I think episode 56 now.
And here the funny thing too was about the same time this was going on, your supervisor knows James Henderson, Jim Henderson,
yeah.
who has KHMB radio. A year ago, this past December, I started doing my weather forecast for them because that's what I did years ago when I was in radio working at several radio stations and worked with one guy you may have heard of by the name of Dr. Don Rose, who was a big radio personality. And I ended up working with several people, and my former program director contacted me and said, well, would you like to do stuff for us? And I said, and after a couple of words, I won't say, I said, yeah, I will do that. You pay me and I'll work. And one thing led to another. And I've been at that station for a year now. December the 6th of this week was a year. So, and of course, I was started on July 11th, subsidized over a year ago, and then September, I started, yay, unsubsidized. So I'm so happy. Things are going very well for me now.
It's been an absolute blessing. And then also being able to make this connection, Stan, with us to Hip Housing for through your contacts down there has been great too, because in particular, when I first looked at your website, it was the home sharing that was the thing that stuck out to me most, because we are constantly in our community talking about the fact that we have so many seniors, and that when for us, I think in a lot of housing agencies, we use these buzzwords like self-sufficiency, mm-hmm. but that's really a fluid term. Self-sufficiency mm-hmm. means something different for each individual, and for mm-hmm. our seniors, self-sufficiency is entirely different than what it would be for somebody in their 20s. And so even our philosophy has to change in certain cases as to what does long-term placement look like and what does our agency see our role in that is. And so when I saw this home sharing idea, I'm like, that is brilliant. but at the same time, I also, just the administrative side of me sees the different red flags and whatnot that you'd have to account for to be able to make sure everything was safe.
That goes to what he does, because he also helped out with doing living together arrangements so everybody understands the rules from A, B, C, yep. and D.
Yep. And that's the part that I think is so refreshing, is to see an agency that wasn't afraid to do that and is now, I mean, I would almost say that's almost a banner thing that you guys are doing that other communities might not be able to do or not even see that that's a pathway to helping solve some issues. So that part to me, when I saw that, I'm like, that's, yep, I want to talk about that.
Well, I'm so happy that I was able to go through the process of arranging this. I'll never forget the day when you called me, Chris. I wasn't sure, okay, are they going to call me? But all of a sudden, my phone did this thing, and I, yeah, this works. This is absolutely good. I was just afraid it wasn't going to work, because how many emails did people get in touch with it, and it goes in the trash can or it goes whatever, you know.
You know, this year that's become a big issue because so much communication is electronic that emails do get, mine is overflowing on most days anymore. So Chris, I want to honor your time, because I know that we only have you for a little bit, but, you know, kind of reflecting back to your case management work and the work that you've done, individually, if you were to encounter somebody, that was in a place where they were hopeless, what would your message to them be?
See, you do this to everybody, Matt. I should have warned you, Chris. I'm sorry.
No. This is an excellent question, Matt. Yeah, I would say to that person that it's only a matter of time before you find a safe place to be. And it's going to take work, and you need to advocate for yourself. And we're there to support you through the whole process. You know, I firmly believe in self-advocacy,
yes,
and self-empowerment. And like I said, I would just tell the person that it's just a matter of time. You just got to hang in there, and you know, we'll meet you halfway. We'll be with you every step of the way until you find a safe and affordable place to live.
That was a powerful, that's a powerful message. Thank you. I enjoy doing this just because it opens me up to the work that you're doing, but at the same time, it's nice to be able to connect with the helpers. You know, I know that's, and it's just nice to be able to see people in other communities that are doing similar types of work and are doing it for the same reasons that we're doing it. And I just want to thank you for your service. And I know that this is just the first time that we've met, but I am looking forward to being able to connect with you more in the future to pick your brain and your agency's brain on how we can better serve our community here in Southern Oregon. And hopefully you guys can learn the same.
And feel free, Chris, to send our regards to your supervisor and express the view that we would love to have her as one of our interviews, because I think the more that we could learn about each other, that we can all benefit.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. I'd be happy to. I'll definitely send my regards, and I really appreciate this opportunity. It's been a joy just getting to know both of you more and your organization, and you know, just continuing to do this work in solidarity with one another. Like you said, we're the helpers, Matt, and we're making it happen.
Yeah. Absolutely. Well, and thank you again for being our victim for this episode. it's been a pleasure. And Stan, do you want to drive us home?
I'll drive. Well, even though I don't have far to go, I'll drive you home here. this concludes episode 56. And it's been an honor to have Chris Durkin as our guest for this week. And it has just been an absolute joy. So with that, have an awesome day and stay safe.
Thanks, everyone. Thanks, Chris.
Thank you.
Hey, this is Chris Janish, co-producer of the Finding Hope podcast. We hope you enjoy this episode. New episodes out every Wednesday. We'd love if you left us a review on Apple Podcasts. And if you want to connect with us, find Rogue Retreat on Facebook at facebook.com/Rogue Retreat.